Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. It is Thursday, September 22nd, first day of autumn, or was yesterday the first day of autumn? I think it was yesterday, but we haven't really found the autumn weather yet, but I hear it's coming on Saturday. I live in New England where we have all four seasons in weather changes. So that's, I love that. I don't know where you live. I'd love to know more about your climate. Do you live where it's four seasons? Or do you like, I mean, everyone always has four seasons, but have you ever been to Fall River? No. That cracks me up. That is one of the towns nearby my home. But in New England, in the fall, I was thinking of the VeggieTales. And there's a song where he sings, and I've never been to Boston in the fall. Anyway, it's beautiful here, usually. I don't know if the drought this year and the gypsy moths are going to affect that. But anyway, I will be out taking a walk today, and I'll be making note if fall has shown up or not yet. I hope you're having a wonderful week. Mine has been very prayerful, except for last night, which should have been prayerful. If you were listening to yesterday's show, you know that I was heading into Boston to venerate the heart of Padre Pio. He is in town, so to speak. Cardinal Sean O'Malley is the cardinal of the Boston Archdiocese, to which my diocese abuts. It takes me less than 12 minutes to get into the archdiocese, but about 35-40 to get into Boston. So my friend Kathy and I and two other ladies from, one from my church and one that's friends with Kathy, headed into Boston last night to St. Leonard Church, a very old Italian church in the North End. Can I tell you the hardest part about last night was the wafting smells of pizza and tomato sauce, and I was starving. I was ready to gnaw off my arm. I was so hungry, and the whole church smelled like toast. It was so bad. It was good, but it was bad. The North End is all Italian food, the pizza. We didn't even eat when we were there. Missed opportunities. We got there an hour early, got the literally the last seats that they had. I saw this bench and I bolted to it, being also Christian. Threw myself across it. No, it's for the four of us. Well, one of their ladies is 80. She needed that. So it was packed. It was just jam-packed. Sadly, I have to complain a little bit. I know I shouldn't be, but I'm going to anyway. The acoustics were stinky, so we didn't hear any of the homily. But I figured the Lord, when I can't hear the homily, if I don't understand, I've ever been to a church where the priest kind of mumbles or he's just difficult to follow or understand, I just assume that the Lord wants to have that time with me. And so instead of getting upset, I just put myself I was facing the people instead of facing the altar. So I'd close my eyes and just spend some time quietly contemplating the Lord and the scriptures I've been reading. And of course, bringing to mind all those people I wanted to pray for while I was there. And then when it was time to receive communion, we did fine. It was great. I was so glad. Though I have to confess that at one point I was thinking, oh, I wish we didn't have mass because I just want to, it was just so crowded and I don't do well in crowds and I couldn't hear anything. But then I thought, this is ridiculous. Padre Pio would be so disappointed that I was more interested in venerating his relic than receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of my Lord in the Eucharist, and then I kind of snapped out of it. It's like, oh, that's a horrible way to think. It's, of course, it's more important to receive Jesus and to be able to be part of a Mass, even if you couldn't hear anything. And it, during the consecration, that's the part of the Mass where the bread and the wine transform into the substance of bread, blood and blood and flesh. They become Jesus and they ring a bell. And it reminded me of why the bells were rung back in the days where there were so many people in Mass, or they're outside and you couldn't get to the altar. You couldn't see what the priest was doing. There was a time in the Catholic Church, as you would probably recall, where the priest's back was to the congregation, and they wouldn't have known when the consecration was taking place. So the bells would ring. So the bells started to ring, and I thought, oh my gosh, since I can't see the altar and I can barely hear the words, it was just really a special moment. So I tried to be as prayerful as possible. There was lots of people talking. There was commotion outside. There was the wafting smell of yummy foods that I cannot no longer eat. And I was hungry, just trying so hard to stay focused. And then it came time to finally come to the altar to venerate the heart, which was held in a kind of a fancy holder. If you go to a Seeking Heart with Allison Jinger's Facebook page, there's a short video that I stole off the Archdiocese of Boston's live feed from yesterday of the reliquary holding Padre Pio's heart. And it was just all heck. It was just all heck broke loose. This is my complaint. I was so disappointed at how chaotic and unprayerful it was. I have been to venerate many, many saints' relics. And I love this part of our church. My son said this was disgusting. He's like, what are you doing? That's so weird. Like, I can see that it would look weird. It would look like I'm putting more importance on this dead person's body part than I am on God. But it's not at all what it is. It's like going to him for extra prayers. Like, the relic itself doesn't have grace to it, but the idea of coming there and being prayerful and asking for his intercession to bring this prayer to God, like, he is with God, and he was such a holy person when he was alive. To be able to have, you know, the same temptations, the same flesh and blood that I have, and to yet be able to overcome that, to be close to God and to seek him. I want his help. I want his intercession. And I just love the mysticism of our faith. I love these little traditions and moments that are just uniquely Catholic, as odd as perhaps they seem. I love that. But I was a little disappointed with how crazy it was. And, you know, the instructions were to make two lines up the middle aisle. People were everywhere, including us. We didn't even follow directions because, as my friend said, if we follow directions, we're going to be here all night. And we had an 80-year-old with us. So, and we'd already been there since 5, and this was already 9 o'clock. So it was, but that exact moment with the relic was beautiful. I tried to be very purposeful. I made my request as a germaphobe, kind of freaking out. They weren't wiping him down every time somebody kissed him. So there was no kissing from me, though I did hold the sides of it. I was holding a piece of a special paper they gave everybody that had added to my shrine over here in the studio, with a piece of cloth on it that you could touch to the reliquary, and just be there. Just ask for his intercession. I had some very special prayer, specific prayer requests, and then the minute I finished, like, the world enveloped around me. There's my friend was there taking photos, and he was driving me crazy because I could hear the click, 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 click. And then my hair was a disaster because there was a fan blowing on me. And I don't think this man has ever taken a good picture of me. And I think it's on purpose. Like, not like I said to him, he's like, you really should have fixed your hair. And I said, like, really, this is all I've got. Like, I just finished. Like, I am who I am. Just move on. I don't care about the picture. I just wanted that 5 seconds, literally, not even, with Padre Pio, my spiritual father, somebody who I have been just turned to in prayer for a very long time. And it was just a special moment, a chaotic, crazy moment. And then I was watching the live feed this morning from the Boston Archdiocese Facebook page, and they're now at the Braintree at the Pastoral Center, and their people are just very orderly, one by one. There wasn't this crazy, I hope the picture does get, I mean, I look horrendous, but I don't really care. I want you to see how insane that moment was, just surrounded by people all trying to get to Padre Pio. Anyway, crazy stuff, but part of my journey. I love that stuff. I love being a part of that. I love pilgrimage. I love relics. I love sacramentals, which are, you know, rosary beads and medals and statues. And I love all that stuff. I'm a very tangible person, you know. I want to touch things. I want to see things. I want to feel things. And God, I believe, does allow this into our hearts. We've got to be careful not to, like, I don't kneel here at my shrine and pray to these little objects. They just make me smile. They remind me of St. Faustina and the Infant of Prague and Our Lady Undoer of Knots and all of these wonderful people who have gone before me, who pray for me, are helping us with this journey. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to look at this week's book, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn by Marcel. See, not tough. Marcel Lejeune, Pauline Books and Media. Oh, please stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm talking today about the book Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune, Pauline Books and Media. And just one quick note on the Padre Pio veneration from yesterday. It also came on the exact day that I had finished the petition part of my 54-day Rosary Novena. A 54 Rosary Novena is you have something that you're praying for, and for 27 days you petition the Lord, you ask for His favor for something, and then for 27 days, regardless of whether it's happened or not, you begin to thank Him for it, for whatever the outcome will be. Hopefully it will be what I've prayed for, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that it happened right on that day. So hopefully that's a good sign. Well, whenever God's involved, it's always a good sign. So I know whatever happens, it will be fine, but it would be really nice for this to happen. Anyway, on to Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune, Pauline Books and Media. Let me read you from the intro. Marcel writes, "You aren't perfect. And I'm not perfect. None of us is. Yet the amazing thing about our imperfection, which we riddle with sin, is that despite it all, God's love for us never stops. As a young adult, I felt inadequate, unworthy, and humiliated because of my bad habits and sin. Yet I still chased after happiness by seeking sex and using others. It never worked, Marcel writes. None of those things ever brought lasting happiness. They brought brief moments of pleasure, but those never lasted. I got through it all only because of an encounter with Jesus that shook me to the core. I finally found the love I had wanted all along. Isn't that beautiful? And I think that any person who's been a young adult can relate to what he's saying. I know that my young adulthood, I was just a train wreck. I was such a train wreck. I had just had a very difficult childhood that had left me feeling very insecure, very broken. And I think once you feel broken, unfortunately, that's, you know, the enemy uses that to just keep you breaking. He's like, I'm not going to let you let the Lord mend you up and make you new again, as he tells you. Like Revelation, he says, I make all things new again. And it just, I wasn't going to allow that. I just ran from God as far as I could and made lots and lots of poor choices. And as an older young adult, is going to be very honest with my husband, and I started to have children, and I started to feel very those insecurities just woofed right in my face, and I started to feel physically unattractive, and the idea of sex became very difficult, and it was weighing on our marriage. And there was a point in our marriage where we turned to pornography thinking it was going to spice things up. And I know so many couples who weren't being faithful to their faith, or even those who were trying to go to Mass each week and participate in the faith, bring their children up in the faith, were still wrapped up in this lie that there are no victims in pornography, and that it's, you know, those people want to be doing those movies, and I'm not hurting anybody because, you know, everybody's consenting. And it's such a lie. It's such a lie. And there are days where I will... there's things you can't unsee. And I just have to keep praying for the Lord. I actually asked my guardian angel just to wrap up those images and keep them from me, and to have pity and mercy on me for the choices I made as a very broken individual. And I know that the Lord forgives me. I know that he doesn't hold those sins against me, but it's just speaks volumes to the choices that we make that we think aren't causing us any repercussions, or they're not hurting anybody, but yet they are. And here I am so many years later, and I still, you know, have to, I can't unsee that stuff, and I can't sometimes think it, and I'm not trying to, and it doesn't sexually arouse me. It's just there. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that. Lord, I'm so sorry. And my guardian angel is truly a guardian angel to guide me and guard me from those thoughts when I ask her to. Like, just guard me. Just take them away. It's you got to be careful what you watch. And, you know, people will say, well, I would never watch hardcore porn, but, you know, they'll soak up a night of Desperate Housewives or, you know, whatever those kind of shows are. And you think that's soft porn. That's still letting your eyes see things that you don't need to see, or reading 50 grades of whatever that, you know what I'm trying to say. 50 Shades of Grey. I think that's the name of it. Or, you know, the movies we see, the songs we listen to, the books we read, that all has an impact on who we are and what we think, and it shapes us whether we believe it or not. Those things are in our minds, and it doesn't mean we're going to become addicted to pornography, but I don't think that we help ourselves by indulging in those, either mindfully or unmindfully, either the hard stuff or the soft stuff. All of it is impure, unnecessary, and it does matter. People say, why does porn matter? And that's the first chapter of Marcel Lejeune's book, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Pauline Books and Media. It starts with 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Like, that's a pretty simple thing St. Paul is telling us. There's no way around that. We're supposed to glorify God in your body, what we say, what we do, what we listen to, what we eat, what we ingest, even the amount of alcohol. Like I joked last week or 2 weeks ago that I got accidentally drunk. Like that wasn't being at all responsible. Wasn't being responsible for my actions. I wasn't being mindful. I know one of my favorite books that we've ever done is Cravings by Mary de Torres Post. And it was all about being mindful of what you eat and how being mindful of what you eat can help you to be a healthier person. Well, we want to be healthy all the way through. We want to be spiritually healthy, mentally healthy, sexually healthy, physically healthy. There's so many different levels of being a healthy person. And we need to remember that we glorify God with our words, with our thoughts, with our bodies. So let's, again, let's go back to Cleanse by Marcel Lejeune here, chapter one, Why Porn Matters. No child, he writes, has ever wanted to grow up to be a sex addict. In fact, no adult in his right mind would ever want a sex addiction either. Yet, we are quickly becoming a culture of sex addicts who casually hype our addictions as a healthy personal expression of our individuality. Nothing could be further from the truth. I remember being at a women's retreat and doing in offering confessions during the lunch break. I do a small talk on confession, and then we open up confessions, and I've been so blessed. I've had times where there's been six or more priests there to hear confessions. We've had people go back after 35, 45, 50 years, and it's so exciting to see them go in so heavy, so burdened, and come out light and excited and just on fire, like what God has done for them, so grateful, so humbled. It's beautiful. And I remember this one woman just came to me and said, can I talk to you privately? And she pulled me aside and she just was hysterical. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, I didn't know that masturbation was a sin. I didn't know that I was misusing my body and hurting in myself and separating myself from God from this behavior. I had no idea. She's like, and I'm married and I didn't know. She's like, but you know, there was so much that went around what she was talking, you know, using pornography to get herself stimulated, leaving her husband out of the marital act, like just trying to find some kind of satisfaction, some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Some kind of joy from, you know, this act, and not realizing that the true joy comes from our time with God. Our true joy, the joy that can't be this pleasure. I guess it's pleasure, the word I'm looking for too, but that pleasure is fleeting, but and our joy is fleeting in those moments. But the sacramental act of a marriage and bringing your spouse into your troubles and working through those actually spices up your marital act way more than watching other people engaged in sex or any kind of sexual activity. That the communication, that bringing God into it, seems odd to be like, oh, we're going to pray before we have sex. But truly, like, God has given us this gift of sexuality for a plan and a purpose. And when we use it within it, that's where we find the true pleasure and the true joy of its intent. And Marcel talks about that as well in his book. Marcel Lejeune will be my guest tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Friday, September 23rd. And we'll be talking about his book, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn. If you want to join us, if you have any questions, you can send those over to me either as a private message on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media, or you can email them, allison@breadboxmedia.com, and I'll be sure to discuss them tomorrow when Marcel Lejeune is my guest and we talk more about Cleansed, which we're going to actually do after these messages as well. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about the book Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn by Marcel Lejeune. This is out now from Pauline Books and Media. I remember when it showed up at my house, I went, oh yeah, that's okay. I don't want to talk about that. It's like I'm not comfortable with this discussion, and nor do I think it's important. Well, I mean, I think it's important, but I didn't think it would fit into the show here, and I thought, no, I'm not going to talk about it. So I just set it aside. And then within days, there was a situation where I recognized quite clearly this needs to be talked about. We can't pretend it's not a problem, that it doesn't happen in families or, you know, in Catholic families or in marriages. It is everywhere. It's everywhere. And we really need to bring it to the forefront, be praying about it, be aware, be mindful again of the people in our family, what our children are doing, what their, you know, computers, like when the computer first came out, being in control of what my adolescent boys were doing was easy. We had one computer. We didn't even have laptops yet. We had one computer. It was in the center of our house. It was in the family room. I knew what they were watching. They didn't know how to hide stuff from me yet. Their phones, you know, even when they got phones, they were flip phones. They were texts. I would take it the end of each day. I would read things through. There was no internet on there. Life was simple. Yes, I realized that pornography came along way before the internet. You know, magazines hidden under mattresses or in the back shed. I understand that. But this is a whole new world. And with it comes a whole new set of problems and concerns. And I think it is harder than ever for parents to protect their children from what can be seen. I mean, even something as simple and as stupid as the way the pornography industry has taken over domain names and searches. I remember, I don't even, maybe 10 years ago, that if you went and searched White House, you know, like every kid trying to do some project for school, searching the word White House would go to a pornography site. Like, it's very difficult for people to protect their children, truly protect their children. My kids now, I mean, they're 17, they're 20, they have their own phones with the internet available to them. My daughter wants a computer for her for Christmas. There will be many, many, many controls put on this computer because we gave her a Kindle one day just to read a book, or I think we'll watch a movie. We had a Dora movie on it. And the next thing I know, she's pushing buttons and, you know, she's into a place. Luckily, it wasn't pornography, but she had gotten onto YouTube. I'm like, are you kidding? How did you do that? And we were talking 8-year-old, just too smart, too many things to get into. So it is becoming harder and harder to protect them, but we need to. We can't turn a blind eye. And so that's why God is so cute. The Holy Spirit really does love to make sure I don't miss a beat sometimes. And that's why we're talking this week about Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune, out from Pauline Books and Media. And in this chapter, again, on why porn matters, as a chapter here, I mean, a part of the chapter where he writes, the power of sex. Sex is the most powerful thing a man and woman can share together because the sexual act makes new life. All of us have our beginning in the sexual act. Sex is a participation in the creative act of forming unique, unreputable, unrepeatable human beings who are created by God for eternal destiny and a beautiful purpose. But pornography doesn't care for this understanding of sex. Rather, it mocks the power of sex. Porn tosses this power aside, portraying it as a distraction from the alleged true power of sex, which is pleasure. Yes, that was the word, by the way, in the last segment I could not think of. Pornography is material that portrays suggestive behavior in order to arouse sexual desires and reactions, Marcel writes. It takes many forms and is found in every media format currently available. TV, internet, photographs, movies, books, magazines, phones, and gaming stations, for example. A good way to determine if something is pornographic is to ask yourself, does it depict lewd sexual behavior intended to arouse sexual desire? If the answer is yes, it's a good chance it is porn. Or you can ask the question I ask my sons all the time. Would you watch that with Jesus? And of course, I have a self-proclaimed right now atheist son who says he doesn't exist. How could I watch it with him? So then I say, would you watch that with Meme? And of course, he wouldn't. He wouldn't read that to Meme. He wouldn't sit down and watch that with her. If you are too uncomfortable to watch or talk about this or show this to your grandmother, then chances are it's pornography and you don't need to be watching it. You don't need to be taking it in with your eyes if you wouldn't be willing to share it with your grandmother, right? There is, walking distance from my house, sad to say, a video store. An adult video store. And what I didn't know, because I am this naive, that it's not just movies you can buy or rent. And how disgusting would that be, FYI, to rent that movie? But it's not even that. Apparently, there's also booths in this store that you can go and watch. And I only found this out because I have a friend who was a fireman and an EMT and got called to a 911 call for a gentleman who had a heart attack in one of those booths. And I was just horrified, mortified, just shocked. And from that day forward, let me tell you, my little boys never played in the front yard again. I never let them out anyway by themselves, but there'd be moments where, you know, you're in the yard, you're playing, you're like, I'm just going to go in and get us some water, or I have to go to the bathroom, or I'll be right back, get the snack. But from that day forward, they always played in the backyard and I was still uncomfortable. And this doesn't mean that all pedophiles are the ones who are watching pornography, but when you are sexually stimulated, I feel like sometimes you're just not in control. And anybody who has a problem, it's just going to exacerbate it. So anyway, it's just, they're everywhere. Every time I drive by there, I pray, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. If I could get away with sitting there and throwing holy water on it, I would. I would just sit at the stoop and throw holy water at everybody who walked in, but there's laws that protect. Isn't that sad? There's laws that protect them. I can't loiter out there. I can't. I could, I suppose, bring a sign. But my luck, people would only see me driving out. They would not know why I was there. They would just see me driving out. And I would be, that's embarrassing. So one of Marcel's jobs and why he wrote this book is that he works with college students, and he writes here in his book, Cleansed, working with college students, I have found that most people who use porn started at an early age in their home. If their parents discovered they were using porn, that discovery took months or years. Porn users will tell you they mainly access porn in private, and many feel a deep sense of shame when using it. Furthermore, the feeling of shame may keep them from seeking the help they need to stop. Some are exposed at such an early age that they may not even know the full extent of what they are doing, because porn can be attractive and toxic to the youngest of children and the oldest of adults. Wow, right? Powerful stuff here in this book, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Pornography, from Marcel Lejeune, Pauline Books and Media. And like all the books that Allison is drawn to, each book, each chapter of this book ends with activities and questions. I just want to focus a little bit on that. If you're looking for a book to use in a group setting, or just for yourself, or in a therapy setting, or a spiritual direction setting, great book. It has great questions at the end. So here's on the chapter, What Porn Does to Individual Families and Societies. The questions are, what part of this chapter did you find most surprising or shocking? Why? Number two, do you believe our culture has a healthy or unhealthy view of sexuality? If you believe it is healthy, in what ways and why is it healthy? If you believe it is unhealthy, again, in what ways and why do you believe it's unhealthy? Do you believe God loves you even when you do something bad? Do you believe you are lovable? Why or why not? And read the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15:11-32. Now read it again, but imagine yourself as the prodigal son. As you know, the prodigal went off and squandered some of his inheritance on women. Fast living. How does it feel to go home to your father? What is it like to experience love and forgiveness when you don't believe you deserve it? Do you believe God loves you the same way? Why or why not? And I'm going to tell you that God does love you, and he does forgive every single thing you do. When you ask, you need to be contrite, you need to be sorry, and it doesn't even have to be a full sorry. It can be just, I'm trying to be sorry, and God's going to send grace to help you in that. We've got more with Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune, after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alice Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about Marcel Lejeune's new book, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, out now from Pauline Books and Media. And I'm going to fast forward. I'm a sucker for lists. And he has lots of them in here. And I really enjoyed them because I love when I'm giving steps. Give me step by step. Give me calls to action. Give me things to ponder. And I am a happy girl. It also, I have to say, makes talking about them on air that much easier as well. So today again, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune. He will be here tomorrow, 10 a.m. live. If you have any questions, you can text them in 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. The lines will not be open for a little bit. We're not going to, I don't have a call screener at this time, so I'm just doing text in 573-4BREAD-4, or you can leave me a message, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page, or of course, email anytime, allison@breadboxmedia.com or seekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. Those both come to me, and I'll be happy to ask Marcel any questions that you have tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, when he's here on the show. So ultimately, he writes here, and how do we get out of this mess, and how do we get into this mess, and how can we get out? This is the chapter again from Cleansed. Marcel writes, ultimately, this is a battle for hearts, which means we have to evangelize others so God can change their heart. We cannot make someone choose anything, nor would we ever want to force them to do so anyway. Rather, we want to help them find what is really beautiful, true, and good in our world. This battle for our culture is not lost yet. And so here are 11 ways, Marcel Lejeune writes, Christians can transform our modern culture. So some things to contemplate. Number one, work on ourselves first. We can fully control only our own decisions. That is a very, very good point. How many times have we tried to change other people? That doesn't work, especially if the thing we're trying to change in them, we are currently in the middle of. Like if you're, you know, telling your child they can't be angry and you're yelling at them, that's not going to help. So let's change ourselves first, abandon ourselves, as Marcel writes, to God's grace. Number two, evangelize, evangelize, evangelize. When we get to heaven, I believe, Marcel writes, the first question we'll be asked is, whom did you bring with you? Jesus's mission statement is go and make disciples. If we call ourselves his followers, we can't avoid evangelizing. It is the core part of our identity and Christ. I love that one. Number three, pray. Then pray some more. I don't think that we are truly people who understand or believe the power of prayer. Like I've heard so many times people are in difficult situations and other people will say to them, I wish I could help, but all I can do is pray. And they say it almost as apologetic way. But truly, when you are saying all I can do is pray, you are offering them the most you can offer them. So pray, pray, and pray some more. Number four, support groups that are already doing good work. If you know of such a group, Marcel writes, invest in them and their great work in transforming culture. Invest your time, your money. Don't let another opportunity pass to put your money where your beliefs are. Number five, focus on youth and young adults. Young people are not the future of the church. They are already part of it. I love that point, Marcel. So on point. So we need to make sure they not only stay in the church, but help the church grow and thrive. So we need to give time and attention, especially to the young adults. Honestly, I see where we have stepped it up. We have Life Teen, we have Edge, we have these programs for our confirmation students. This is fantastic. We are doing such a better job at evangelizing our youth. We have Steubenville that puts out those fabulous youth conferences that go across the country. We're doing great things for our youth. Our young adults, we're still missing the mark. Hey, if your young adult is married or has children, we're there for you. But that interim, we're not, or you've picked single life, not so much doing a good job at helping our young adults. So that's definitely an area that we need to improve upon for sure. Now pray about where you can perhaps be better. If you are a young adult, so perhaps you need to ask God, or I implore you to ask God. You don't need to do anything, but I implore you to ask God, where can I make a difference? What needs to be offered? What talents and gifts do I have that perhaps I can put into use? That's true if you're an older adult, too, and you want to help the young adults. I'm starting a new Bible study at my church. I've been doing it at my home for many years. I talk about it all the time, the small group. I love it. But I just recently felt the Lord calling and putting on my heart to move that to my church. We've been trying to do one on Wednesdays, and I've been doing mine on Mondays. And both have had sporadic attendance and success. And I think, no, it's time to bring everyone together. And I can't be in two places at once. I can't be out 4 days a week. So I prayed and I really felt that the Lord was calling me to this Monday night Bible study at the church where we can call in all ages, men and women. We can put them in groups if we want by age or by gender. Massachusetts just showed up. It's agenda. We can really work to bring people together to introduce themselves. And if this is my only way of helping young adults find more young adults or create community, then I'm blessed to do so. Number six, learn how others have transformed the culture in the past. The negative change in our culture didn't happen overnight, and neither will the positive change, Marcel writes. We need to focus our efforts in areas such as media, education, fine arts, entertainment, offering positive alternatives when needed. And there's a lot of great stuff out there. Spirit Juice Studios is doing some good stuff. There is a movement for sure to see more positive media being offered, more positive change to this culture. Dream big. I love this one too. Too many Catholics are fine with the status quo, but Marcel Lejeune tells us God dreams big and so should we. Nice reminder. Number eight, use all tools available such as internet, new media, and other technologies. The church must always answer the should we and how should we if we do questions when it comes to progress. Number nine, stick to the basics. Most modern people are basically unchurched or de-churched, even if they go to church sometimes. This means they know little, if anything, about a personal relationship with Jesus. The best place to start reaching them is in the gospel message. Communicate it clearly and effectively. And you don't need to be a scholar to do so. I'm not. I hope I do it effectively. I just speak from my heart. I spend time in God's word so that I'm authentic when I speak about God's word. And when I speak about my relationship with Christ, it's because I have one. But it takes work. Every relationship takes work. You have to pray. You have to give God your time and sacrament, coming to Mass, going to adoration, receiving reconciliation. Those are all powerful ways to grow in relationship. They're tangible ways to grow in relationship with Christ. And of course, spiritual reading. I love that God uses all means to reach us. I was looking one day at my son's news feed for some reason, and it just struck me how Catholic my social media is. Here we are using the same social avenues, Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, but yet we use it so vastly different. It's who you follow. It's the content you share. It's the content you put out there. The algorithms are all meant to connect you to what you have interest in. And the more that you use that time to connect through, you know, closer to your Catholic faith, the more authentic you will be and the closer to Christ you will be, believe it or not. Number 10, invest time, energy, and talents in helping others. And another, 11, our modern culture still has many good aspects. And I love how he reminds us not to get discouraged by this world, but yet to be the change we want to be in this world. Tomorrow, I will be joined by Marcel Lejeune, God willing, and we'll talk more about Cleansed, a Catholic guide to freedom from pornography. Things that I didn't get to that I hope that we can talk about will be how porn destroys relationships. You think that it has no victims and that it is it's not bothering or hurting anybody, but you'd be amazed at what it does to your own ideas and your own relationships and how it desensitizes us and really can cause a great chasm in a relationship. And then another one I wanted to look at tomorrow, 7 reasons we let our prayer life slip. So again, tomorrow, and last, the Catholic antidote to porn. There has to be an answer, right? There has to be a way that we can help others through this crisis, through this addiction, and even to help them avoid discovering pornography altogether. I am excited tomorrow to spend that time with Marcel Lejeune, Cleansed, A Catholic Guide to Freedom from Pornography, out now from Pauline Books and Media. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.